Welcome to the Back Ass Words podcast. We are the Back Ass Words boys. I'm Kyle. I use he, they pronouns. And joining me from our beautiful Colorado studio is Arden.
Hi, everybody. I use he, him pronouns.
Dude. Tonight, guys, gals,
happened?
And...
Wait, what happened? I'm joking. It's that fucking TikTok that you showed me where I have to catch you and drill you on it.
We've only done 120 episodes of this show.
This will be episode 120.
Yeah. You got to give me a little grace period to get the intro down, okay?
Absolutely. I'm so sorry. You're right. My professor, my leader.
Tonight, guys, gals, and NB pals, we are going to be talking about the Peacock documentary, Casey Anthony, Where the Truth Lies.
Yes, technically, we were supposed to do this episode last week, but we released Dietlov instead.
Suck at my job. I haven't watched it yet. I'm sorry, guys.
But here's the thing, is that we do keep our promises on the Back Asswords podcast, and I told you that we were going to talk about this. It just didn't happen last week. And honestly, I feel like you could listen to this episode. If this is your first episode, hi, hello. I really do feel like you could listen to this episode on its own. But in case if you don't know, we just did a 3-part series on Casey Anthony and the murder of Kaylee Anthony a couple weeks ago on our podcast. And that is great groundwork for what we're about to talk about, because we're going to be referencing what we talked about quite a bit during this episode. And so, just so you know, if you want a little bit more context, go listen to that series. We tried really, really hard.
Yeah. But with that being said, we are going to be talking about a lot tonight, and tonight's episode is going to get into some topics that may be sensitive for some of our listeners. Talking about Casey Anthony, Where the Truth Lies, means talking about child neglect, child abuse, child sexual abuse, death, and specifically the death of a 2.5-year-old child. We care about our audience, and we want to make sure that you folks are as safe as possible while listening. So if tonight's episode won't work for you, we'll see you next week.
And this is your reminder to always take care of yourselves when you're consuming media. If you don't know what you're getting into, you might not know how you feel coming out the end of an hour-long podcast, so take care of yourselves, and we'll see you next week.
Yeah. As always, guys, we do list our sources for every episode, and while we did not end up hitting up Wikipedia for this week's episode, still go throw them a few bucks if you want to. I'm sure they could use it.
Yes.
But we did use IMDb's page and Rotten Tomatoes page on Casey Anthony, Where the Truth Lies. We also used IMDb's page on Alexander Dean, and we, of course, watched Casey Anthony, Where the Truth Lies on Peacock. But you guys, we are not scholars. We are probably going to get some things wrong, and we are not linguists. We are probably going to say some things wrong, and we are not criminologists, so we are definitely probably going to get some procedure wrong.
Yeah, and we're also not lawyers, so no. Please.
No. Allegedly.
Oh my god.
One more allegedly.
We're gonna talk about it. I'm so sorry, but like this documentary is fucking wild. That's all I'll say right now.
Yeah. Speaking of fucking wild, why don't you hold on to your asses? Because things are about to get backwards. Take us in, Arden.
The first episode of Casey Anthony, Where the Truth Lies, was released on November 29th, 2022, the year of our Lord, streaming on Peacock, which is the only place to watch this documentary. So if you don't have Peacock, I'm so sorry. I would password share with you if companies weren't cracking down on that right now. This documentary series had 3 episodes, and the 3 episodes were entitled Why Lie, Remembering, and What Remains, in that order. This docuseries was directed by Alexandra Dean, who has also directed documentaries such as Secrets of a Playboy and Bombshell, the Hedy Lamarr story, which I believe that those are her two most famous works that she's done, especially in the documentary sphere. And honestly, like approaching this documentary, the reason why I felt like it was important to talk about it, especially in conjunction with our Casey Anthony series, is because we live in a time where this documentary is somewhat readily available. Like, I know that not everybody has Peacock, but like, it is out there, and it's mm-hmm. and it is a well-made documentary for one. Like, it's a high quality production.
Yeah, from a production standpoint. It is crafted very well.
And I will say that Casey Anthony being in this documentary is a large reason why I wanted to watch this documentary, and also why I wanted to talk about it on the podcast in conjunction with our Casey Anthony series. Because I said this to Kyle off air the whole time, like, we live in an era of media where this is accessible to us, and we're creating media around this story. And I feel like it would be disingenuous, even though we're not the paragon of anything, we're not scholars, we're not linguists, but like, I felt like it would be disingenuous if we didn't watch this and talk about this, which is why we're giving it its own episode, so that we can talk about everything that's in this, because this is a long documentary series, I will say. This is like 3 hours of listening to Casey Anthony tell you how she did not murder her 2.5-year-old child.
Yeah.
And it is an intense documentary too. So like, the content warning that we issued also, it applies to our episode, but it also applies to the documentary. The documentary is a horrifying series of things that are said, is what I will say, over and over and over again. And it is about the death of the 2.5-year-old child named Haley Anthony. And it is so fucking difficult to talk about that. So just by the way, that's what we're talking about tonight. So the first episode is called Why Lie, which I think, honestly, Kyle, if I'm getting back into entertaining the audience for a second, I think this is a great I think this is a great title for the first episode.
Because like, I can think of one reason in this specific scenario to lie.
Yeah, me too.
So one thing before we get into it again, and we've kind of talked about this on the show before, that is very important to keep in mind with this, and with any kind of documentary, is that documentaries all have an agenda.
Correct.
They have a story that they want to tell, and they have something that they are trying to either convince you of or teach you about. And enlighten you about, right?
Correct.
And that is very, very, very obvious with this documentary in particular. And we can beat around the bush with it, but I don't think we need to. This documentary is very, very, very pro Casey Anthony. Did not kill Kaylee Anthony. She was another victim in this scenario.
Correct.
According to this documentary. Which disagrees with what me and Arden personally
vehemently
believe happened in this case. So, on top of how hard it was to watch, it was also very infuriating to watch.
Yes.
But we can talk about that towards the end. So just keep in mind, though, as we're kind of given a recap here, that this documentary was very in the camp of Casey Anthony was a victim and did not kill Kaylee.
Correct. And so the first episode is called Why Lie? And the beginning of this documentary was kind of wild to me. Like, I was surprised that this was part of the documentary. And the beginning of this documentary I would say like the first 5 or 10, possibly even 15 minutes is all dedicated to like this move-in sequence that the documentary crew and Casey Anthony are having. Because like the documentary opens up and Casey Anthony is moving into this house. And
literally like coming in with dry cleaning bags and and a suitcase.
Yeah. And like there's like this text or like narration that happens that's like they went to this house because they didn't want anyone to know Casey's location at the time of this documentary.
Which is like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
No one, the documentary's not out. No one would have known.
And like,
no one knows where she lives already.
Everyone just knows that she's in Florida.
Yeah. Like, come on, guys.
And like, here's the thing. I did not live in Florida post Casey Anthony's trial. I moved out of Florida before that, right? So I don't know how everyone in Florida was acting at this time. I don't know how many people in Florida were talking about this all the time. Whether I was there or not, I still wouldn't know. But what I'm trying to say is like, I don't fully understand how the people of Florida reacted to this. And if newspapers were still circulating post 2011 about Casey Anthony, even if it was like tabloids and shit like that, like, I don't know. And so I can't really speak to that element of it, but they feigned this part of it. They presented this part of the documentary as like, we really didn't want to be like influenced by like outside behavior or something to that effect.
Yeah, it was very heavy-handed.
It was.
Is all I think I will say about it.
And like Casey's like moving in and she's like unpacking her suitcase and she brings out these pictures of Kaylee and her and blah, blah, blah. It's like a bunch of what's in her suitcase. And she also like, this is something that I thought was really interesting, Kyle. And here's the thing. Please listen to me when I say this. I'm not a parent, okay? I don't know what that's like. But Casey pulls out this framed picture of this drawing that her 2-year-old daughter did. And it's like a bunch of scribbles on a page and it's already crumbled up. It's just like crayon scribble, right? And she like talks about how much she loves this and how much this reminds her of Kaylee. And I don't know if you got this feeling, Kyle. Maybe I'm completely alone on this. I thought that was so... that entire sequence, I was like, how perfect that the documentary crew caught this. You know what I mean? I kind of had that feeling.
The whole fucking thing felt so staged and performative.
Yes.
Yeah. It was...
I agree.
And... Yeah, I don't know.
It was very strange. The beginning of this documentary was a strange way to introduce this.
There's a lot of more genuine documentaries would have done things a different way to open up this documentary. I think where my struggle lies.
I think so too. And I mean, like, I don't know that much about Alexandra Dean, who directed this documentary. And like, maybe I should have watched another one of her documentaries to like see how that one was. But this one was like very, it's like a persuasive essay that you write for your final English class paper. And it's like, okay, you know what I mean? Something that I will say about this episode, this episode, we're not going to spend too much time talking about it. I really just wanted to talk about the beginning sequence because like this episode is really just like a recap of the case. And like, here's the thing. Like, if you listen to our Casey Anthony series, you already know what Casey Anthony's explanation for a lot of this behavior is. And they kind of dip into that in this first episode, but really it's just a recap of the case itself. And like the only like really new thing that comes out of it, and maybe we can talk about this for a second, Kyle, is Casey in the first episode made a very distinct point to talk about how dysfunctional her parents' relationship to each other was. She made a very distinct point to talk about how their relationship with each other was strained.
Yeah, and was it the end of the first episode where she repeatedly was like, they sold me out for money, they sold me out for money, they sold me out for money?
Yeah, they do address that in this episode. They kind of get into that a little bit more in the other episodes, but yes, she does. She makes a point to be like, fuck my parents and fuck everything that they did to me. And their relationship was always strained. As long as I can remember, they had problems in their marriage.
Mm-hmm. Again, it just felt weird that they were taking so much time to stress on that specific point.
And the reason that I want to stress that for this conversation that we're having, for you folks at home who have not watched this documentary or do not have the opportunity to watch this documentary, I want you to hold on to this that we're talking about right here, because this is one of those things, this very blatant conversation topic about how dysfunctional George and Cindy's relationship was, is something that leads me to believe that this documentary is very much taking a stand on something, and also why it might be a little bit nudged in a certain direction.
Yeah.
And then the next episode, the second episode, is called Remembering. And this is where we get into some fucking... I almost just said a pejorative to describe this. This is where we get into some absolutely crazy bonkers stuff, my friends.
Yes.
This second and third episode are nuts.
Yeah, the first episode, if you have even like listened to our series on Casey Anthony, isn't going to be that much. There's not that much like revelatory information in that.
Yeah.
But this second episode, I definitely learned some new things.
Uh-huh. Me too. So like the second episode like literally opens with Casey talking about, because if you folks remember from the trial, the defense's perspective was that Kaylee had drowned in the pool, and they even went as far as to allege that George Anthony had drowned Kaylee Anthony in the pool. And the story was that regardless of whether he killed her or not, Casey came around to the back of the house and saw George holding Kaylee Anthony, soaking wet, not breathing. And then what he proceeded to do was be like, everything's going to be okay, I'm going to take care of her, blah, blah, blah. And then Casey didn't see her daughter for 31 days. And during that 31 days, she says that she kept on calling George, being like, where is Kaylee? How is she? Is she okay? And he's like, yes, everything's fine, everything's okay. That's the story.
Because she said she stayed with Tony Lazzaro for most of that 31 days.
Correct. Which is also why she was discovered at Tony Lazzaro's house. This is consistent with what we talked about in our series.
Yeah.
So that's the story, right? And when they open this second episode, they talk about her storyline of George discovering the body. And she claims, this is new information, that she was woken up by George.
Mm-hmm.
And she also made a point to once again hammer down on that she didn't have to check the pool, because when she got there, George was already holding Kaylee. But this is what's interesting about the pool, and I did not know this from my research, and maybe they brought it up during the trial, I don't know. But in order to get into the pool, in order for Kaylee to have gotten into the pool specifically, she would either have to be like lifted up and put in this pool, because it's an above ground pool, or there's like a ladder mechanism that like hooks onto the pool that she was able to climb on her own, being 2.5 years old, right? That's the only way that Kaylee gets in the pool, is one of those right. two ways.
She According can't accidentally Kaylee. Fall in.
Correct.
Right.
Unless the ladder is there, right? Then she can accidentally fall in.
But she would still have to climb the ladder.
Correct. Correct. And then this is when Casey Anthony dropped an absolute fucking bomb. Something that I would be surprised to have not have found in my research, but there was this whole part of the second episode where she talked about being in prison after they, like, you know, arrested her for, like, the murder of Kaylee Anthony when she was a suspect in the murder. She got thrown into solitary confinement, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she would spend 23 hours in that cell and then come out for like an hour to, like, I don't know, be a human or something. And Casey talked about that during this phase of her jail time, of her prison time, she developed a pen pal relationship with another inmate in solitary confinement named Robin. And Robin appears in this documentary, by the way.
Mm-hmm. They tracked her down.
And everything that we're about to say to you that Robin said, Robin says happened. Okay? And she even, like, pulled out the letters and shit like that that Casey was sending her and, like, read them. The alleged letters that Casey was sending her and read them. You know? So the biggest, to me, the biggest thing that came out of these pen pal interactions was that, and this is something that I thought was interesting in the documentary too, Kyle, is that Casey and Robin both claim that Robin was actually the first person that Casey ever told or ever felt comfortable telling about her father's sexual assault on her, the repeated sexual assault and sexual abuse from her father. Robin, this solitary confinement inmate, was the first person that she told through these letters.
Yeah, before her defense team, before her parent, before her mom, before anybody.
Correct.
Yeah.
Casey claims during this that she had more vivid memories of the sexual assault and the sexual abuse that happened because she was separated from her family at this point. She was finally, like, alone with her thoughts, which kind of insinuated to me that even when she had Kaylee, even if she wanted to, like, I don't know, be 20 years old and go get her own apartment, that it was kind of an unsaid thing that she wouldn't do that between her parents, I guess. More specifically, George, but we're going to talk about that a little bit more later. But, like, she wouldn't, that insinuated to me that she wouldn't have been able to leave the house, or she feels like she would not have been able to leave the house with her daughter.
Yeah.
And so, like, that was a really, really big thing that was said in this documentary about this, which, I don't know. We'll talk about it later.
We got to build to it.
We'll talk about it at the end. But, like, another character that comes up in this episode of the documentary is Janine. And Janine is a member of Casey's defense team because, like, Casey's defense team had, like, multiple people on it, right? Like, upwards of, like, 10, 12, as defense teams go, you know.
In these high-profile cases, yeah.
Super high-profile, exactly. And Janine is this, she seems like a really sweet lady, by the way, I will say. But
yes,
she's a member of her defense team, and she was the first person on her defense team that she told about the sexual abuse with George. And she vouches for Casey the entire documentary.
Yeah.
Straight up. She claims that she understands her. And Janine also claims that Casey did tell people about the sexual abuse before the trial. Jesse Grund, her ex-fiance, who we did mention in our series, testified in court about the alleged sexual assault and abuse from her brother, Lee, right? Not George, but Lee.
Mm-hmm.
Casey also claimed that she told Cindy, her mother, and that when she told Cindy that her about Lee abusing her, because she didn't tell Cindy that George was abusing her. The perspective that she says is, like, I tested the waters with my mom by telling her that my brother sexually assaulted me.
Yeah, and mom did not react well to that information.
No. Allegedly, she called her a whore, if you remember. She specifically said that in the documentary. Yeah. She's like, this is your fault. You're a whore, right? And this is why she didn't tell Cindy about the abuse from George. So, George is holding Kaylee sopping wet, right? And in the aftermath of this, after he's like, everything's going to be okay, according to Casey, she did admit in this documentary to staying with Tony Lazzaro for the majority of this 31 days.
Yeah.
And this was something that was really interesting because, and I think they show up in the first episode too, but two of Tony Lazzaro's roommates are in this documentary.
Yeah. They are interesting characters in this documentary.
Yes.
Because they're almost treated like expert witnesses.
Yes, in this documentary.
Yeah, in this documentary. And I don't know that I would consider them to be expert witnesses.
Uh-huh.
In this specific scenario.
No. I wouldn't.
But they specifically say that like Casey was a really good mom. One of them's like, she always had a backpack full of her stuff. And it's like, yeah, dude, that's the bare minimum when you're a parent.
And you take her to your boyfriend's house.
Yeah, you need a backpack full of stuff to take a child grocery shopping. So like, of course she had a backpack. Anyway.
Yeah, for real.
But yeah, they're like, yeah, we didn't see anything out of the ordinary. It's around this point in the second episode that Casey is like, if you notice in all of the pictures that were taken that they were showing to show that I'm this like party girl, I wasn't drinking.
Oh, yeah. I was out
working.
Oh, yeah.
I was promoting for Tony. And right. It's like, okay, sure.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I don't know, man.
Yeah, no, because she is specifically referencing pictures that were taken of her during that 31-day period where her daughter is being fucking dealt with, I guess, by George, her father. And like, here's the thing. And I talked to a couple of my friends about this. Like, here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you're my dad, dude, my dad is in the next room. I would tell him this to his face, dude. If I have a child and you are holding my child soaking wet, no matter how much I trust you, I'm so sorry. I love my dad. But like, I feel like my absolute maximum would be like 4 days.
Not even.
I know. I know. I know. I'm talking 31 crazy town.
Minutes.
I'm talking crazy town. I know. I'm talking crazy town right now. But like, there is no way. There's no way.
If even if you are my abusive father, even more so if you are my abusive father, and you disappear with my child, who I think was almost drowned to death, but I allegedly think is still alive, and you disappear with them. 31 days? No.
That's crazy.
Again, dude, you're not getting 3 hours.
Dude, I would be
I'm calling the fucking cops.
Dude, I would be walking with my dad wherever my fucking child was. I'd be like, you piece of shit.
Also that. Why did she let him go on his own?
I don't know.
That's it's my
crazy.
Thing.
It's crazy.
Like the story just falls apart in your hands if you sneeze at it, dude.
I know. It's so weird. It's so weird. Such a weird circumstance to like be like, this totally makes sense. Like it kind of doesn't though. Okay.
It does until you look at it.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, again, back to the whole like roommates thing. Like, it's so weird. It's so weird that they would like vouch for her in this documentary as like being a good mom, right? Like, they make a point to say that. They're like, oh yeah, no, she was great.
Mm-hmm.
But like, during this 31 day period as well, like, the roommates did make a point to be like, it was kind of weird, but like, we didn't really say anything. We didn't really think much of it. Blah, blah, blah. Casey always said she was with someone, right? Mm-hmm. Something that the roommates did make a point to note here as well, which I think is important, is that they never heard of any babysitter, right? She was always either with Casey or she was with her grandparents, is what they were saying.
Yeah, they never heard of Zanny.
No.
In this time.
No. Something else that was interesting, and maybe this is a good point to talk about this, Kyle, and maybe we can have a general discussion about it either right now or at the end or something, but what I did find somewhat intriguing about this documentary, and something that did kind of add a little bit of weight to everything that the documentary was saying, was how much documentation they seemed to be able to produce.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, since we're talking about this section of it, like, during that 31-day period, Casey claims that she called her house repeatedly.
Yeah, specifically when her mom was at work.
Correct. To talk to specifically George about where Kaylee was. And that caveat that Kyle just threw in there is actually a really good caveat, because they like flash images across the screen of these like phone logs with like the ones highlighted to Casey, to the Anthony house where Cindy and George live. And you will notice that these phone calls are sporadic and they're a couple days spaced out, right? Which, you know, one could say something, right? But that's why it's important what Kyle just said, because it's allegedly when Cindy is at work and it's only possible that Casey and George can be on the phone at the same time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And during this time period, she continues to claim that George told her over and over that everything was going to be okay. And Casey mentioned a specific phrase that George said to her that really stuck with her, which is, you will be reunited soon.
Yeah. That's what
she says that George said to her constantly. Insinuating to us, the audience, at this point in the documentary, that George is saying that he killed Casey, or that Casey is dead.
Kaylee, or that
Kaylee is dead, right?
Right.
And again, to speak to like the amount of evidence or like supporting evidence to what this documentary was trying to say, was, again, in the second episode, when Kaylee's remains were found, Casey, I guess, found that out through a TV that was playing in the nurse's ward of the prison that she was in. She was sitting down, she looked at the TV, and she saw them say, like, yes, these are the remains of Kaylee Anthony. And they were filming video of her reaction. Like, the camera was going in the nurse's ward. And I will say that if the video is timed properly, I don't know why I'm putting so much doubt on this security footage, but Casey breaks down and she's like crying as soon as she hears the news, right? That's what's presented.
And I mean, that's a terrible way to find out, you know?
Yes, absolutely.
Because according to Casey, she, to this point, thought that Kaylee was still alive.
Yes.
And that she was going to be found. And that's terrible. It really is. But, this is where we meet Pat McKenna as like a real character.
Yeah, they introduced him in episode series. One, but
and man, their dynamic is interesting too.
It's so weird to me.
Yeah,
if I'm being honest.
But dude, he says
shit this is crazy.
This is crazy. Because he, when he got involved in the case, is when Kaylee's remains were found.
Yes.
And so his, he really was intrigued by, he says he was really intrigued and drawn in specifically by George and Cindy's behavior. And his first encounter with them was actually like a phone call. And he thought it was weird that they were like talking and talking about how like they had the Today Show booked, but they were wanting to be on another show at that same time. And they also mentioned that they had been fundraising for their foundation to help other parents find their missing kids, which, to their credit a little bit, is an interesting way to be acting the day, the same day that the remains were found. But also, you can't put yourself into that situation, and you can't say how you would react in that situation, you know?
It's a crazy circumstance, and like, of course,
because some people are trying
to talk to them.
Yeah, and some people are doers, and in that scenario, there are people that if they sat still and didn't do anything, they would literally explode, you know? So, like, I get that.
Also,
I don't think that's too incriminating.
Also, like, this is going to sound like a little bit of, like, profiling here, what I'm about to say, but can I just say this really quick? Like, Cindy and George are, I'm sorry, they're kind of boomers the entire time. And they're like delusional enough, but as a byproduct of, I'm sorry, being a boomer, that they think that these actions would be like helpful. Like, this is a very like this era thing to do. You know what I mean? And think that this is helping. And you want to know something? You want to know something that I think about this? It would not surprise me if two privileged elderly white people, one of whom is a retired cop, were like moved enough by the circumstance to be like, I never want this to happen to anyone else ever again. Because that's what people in that position get to do.
And that's a totally fair reaction to have.
I think so.
I would try and delay that reaction until things are wrapped up a little bit, you know?
But also think about this, like from the family's perspective, if they've already grieved the loss of their granddaughter 6 months ago, because remember, it took them 6 months to find the remains of Kaylee Anthony. There could have been a lot of grieving and action that had been taking place prior to this happening. Prior to them discovering the remains.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe I'll just throw that in there. That's all.
And one of the biggest red flags of this part to me.
Yes, this is weird.
In the George and Cindy court is that they literally bought like a speedboat with this $27,000 and called it the SS Kaylee Marie and like decked it out with like missing child hotline phone number decals and stuff. Like, very poor taste.
Yes.
Very poor taste.
Also a boomer thing to do, by the way.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah, it just felt really weird. And like Pat McKenna says that like when they showed up with this boat, they were like all sunburned and they'd been out on the lake all day.
Yeah.
Driving it around. Yeah. And
like he could tell because of his PI days, you know, he's like, oh yeah.
Yeah, which is fair. It's weird. It's definitely a little suspicious.
Yes, it is weird. I agree. That's really fucking weird.
Yeah.
But the other important thing that happens here is that, like, up until this point, like, he's not directly saying that he's working with Jose Baez, but he knows that Jose Baez is Casey's defense lawyer. And so him as a PI acts of his own volition and brings this to Jose Baez. And obviously this wasn't enough to, like, connect the grandparents to anything to do with the murder.
No. But
Pat McKenna did make a point to say that when he told Jose Baez about this, that Jose Baez thought that there was something fucked up about the Casey Anthony family, about the Anthony family unit.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like, this was, again, this is why I think this documentary has a very direct and blatant motive in telling this story the way that they're telling it, because they take this next section of the documentary to talk about how like Casey's defense team like really became her family because they were the only ones who were willing to listen to her and understand her, which with the story that they're presenting, I will say, makes a lot of sense. Oh. If she would feel that way towards them.
Yeah.
If everything that she's saying is true, if every bit of it is truth, this tracks. They also talk about how Casey did get offered a plea bargain, because obviously they were pursuing mm-hmm. the death penalty, right? And it's like, I don't know if it's just Florida or if it's national law, but like they have to give you a plea deal
mm-hmm.
instead of just like, you know, putting you on trial and making you die. And so she got like a plea deal. It was like 20 years in jail, but she would have to take full accountability for the murder of her daughter. But she would mm-hmm. spend 20 years in jail. And according to her and to her defense team, she immediately dismissed this idea and was like, fuck no, I'm not taking credit for my daughter's death.
Yeah, she said she would rather spend the rest of her life on death row appealing the case than to admit any kind of hand in her daughter's death.
Like basically saying that like her emphatic response, kind of like what we talked about with George Anthony during the trial, like the emphatic response to dismissing the plea could lean you one way or the other on what you think about what she's thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Right? About her yeah. innocence, may I say.
Yeah. And this is where the show really got into kind of tearing apart the case a bit.
Yes.
And some of the specific pieces of evidence brought up in the case. And I'm not going to lie, this is where they if they were going to sway me, they swayed me a little bit, you know.
Interesting.
Some of these things, they brought up some valid points, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Like how only one cadaver dog alerted on the dog on the car, and it was the first one. And when they came back, another cadaver dog didn't alert on the car. I thought mm-hmm. that was interesting. Also, like the fact that a lot of the science that was brought up had never been used in any other, or hasn't been used in any other cases since.
Correct. And we brought that up. Like, the decomposition being admitted to a court case like this had never been done before.
No, and it hasn't been done with the same science since.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think speaks something a little bit, yeah. you know?
Yeah.
But, like, one thing that was interesting is that throughout specifically the first two episodes, they don't really mention it in the third episode, which I thought was purposeful, but very heavily in the first episode and a bit in the second episode, they fully admit that Casey is a pathological liar and like
Correct.
Is lied a lot, specifically in this case and before.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is an interesting move mm-hmm. when you are then also going to use this person to tell the entire story that you are trying to sell us on.
Correct.
To open with them being like, I'm a massive liar, is interesting move. Well, I guess in all fairness, to open with them saying, I was a massive liar, but I don't do that anymore.
Correct. Because like, and this isn't something that we like mentioned at the beginning, but like they talk a lot about how Casey has been in therapy for the last 10 years prior mm-hmm. to this documentary being filmed, and like how she's like rehabilitated so much and she's come to terms with it, and she still has cut ties with her family and blah, blah, blah. And like, that's a really, really big, they mention that over and over throughout the course of these three episodes, is like how, mm-hmm. well, Casey has grappled with this and how well she's assimilated back into society and keeps mm-hmm. to herself and blah, blah, blah. And it is interesting to just like admit that she's a pathological liar. And like, honestly, mm-hmm. like if we take this one step back, if Casey is a pathological liar, even all the stuff that she told you that you believe, is that reliable? If you know that she's a pathological liar,
mm-hmm.
how do you know?
Yeah, it's, again, it's exactly what I just said. To start with, I'm a pathological liar. Now, here's why you should believe me, is
bold.
Not a move I would make as a documentary filmmaker. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, with a very distinct point to make.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm crazy, but I don't think so.
Little bit crazy.
Maybe a little bit. Also, something that Casey chooses to mention in this documentary is that he claims that she had no earthly idea that Jose Baez was going to bring up the sexual abuse of her father during the court case. And she claims that that was because Jose Baez wanted her reactions, Casey Anthony's reactions in court, to be as raw and genuine as possible. Once again, like, kind of speaking to what we talked about in our Casey Anthony series, how Jose Baez is a very powerful speaker, kind of in a Jim Jones kind of way. Like, he knows that with all this shit, they're going to look at Casey, like, the jury's going to look at Casey. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And, like, that's an important aspect of this. So, like, I'm not saying that she didn't know. I'm also saying that that kind of tracks for me. It would make sense if he played it that way. Huge breach of trust, can I say, if that is the case. But, wow.
Yeah, it definitely, whether or not she knew, it played into her favor.
Mm-hmm.
As far as, like, building sympathy with the jury.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of building sympathy with the jury, another one of the big bombshells in this case was learning that George had a little affair with a woman named Crystal Holloway. Right? Crystal was the...
Yes.
Was the affair, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And allegedly, according to Crystal, George told her the entire story.
Yes.
And according to Crystal, the story that she heard was that it was an accident that spiraled out of control. And they did get her to come forward a little reluctantly, but she did testify. So,
yes. And so, like, that's, with...
It's definitely something.
Oh, no, sorry. Please, say what you were going to say.
Oh, I was just going to say, that's definitely something, you know.
It is. There's not nothing there, I will say. But even with this, like, the defense was still running with the story of accidental drowning. And I think it's interesting that this is how this episode of the documentary ends, because this is literally how it ends. Casey is talking about the accidental drowning aspect of this. And she's like, I don't think that this is possible, because it was an above ground pool and the ladder was not out for the pool. As far as Casey remembers, on that evening, the ladder was not accidentally left out on the pool. So with that, she's like, Kaylee couldn't have gotten into the pool on her own. And she says at the end of this episode, she's not accusing George of murder, but she does not think that her daughter's death is an accident. Now, I don't know.
So what does that mean?
Who the fuck else has access to your daughter at this point? If you're saying that.
And again, a more genuine documentarian journalist would have pressed her on that.
I think so.
Because what do you mean, Casey? What do you mean by that?
What do you actually mean by that?
Because that statement, that's a nothing sandwich.
Well, I mean, say what you will to me in the comment section of this. Say what you will to me in the comment section of this incredibly popular, incredibly successful show, the Backassards Podcast. Like, say what you will to me about what I'm about to say. But, like, that is, to me, so fucking deliberately scripted. I'm sorry. Yeah. Like, are you if nothing else, the post-editing is like, boom, bomb is dropped. And it's like, you, first of all, yes, you're dropping a bomb by saying that, because that's a crazy thing to say in this circumstance. You are alleging, because the insinuation is that George killed Kaylee. I don't know what else you could gather from this. You know what I mean? She's like, I'm not saying that George did it, but it wasn't an accident. So you think that perhaps Cindy did it? Or some random ass stranger came into the backyard, saw your daughter, and was like, I'll just drown this child in the pool right now and run away before her grandpa gets out here. What are you saying?
And not leave a shred of evidence.
That's how the second episode ends. And then we get to the third episode, which is called What Remains. This is the fucking... This is the episode, by the way. This is the episode where we're going to talk about the worst stuff that is said in this documentary. By the way, content warning. Child sexual abuse. Content warning. Child sexual abuse. Okay? So this third episode opens with the end of the trial for the murder of Kaylee Anthony, where Casey Anthony was acquitted of everything except for lying to the police, right? And it made a very distinct point to have everyone on the defense team who had shown up in the documentary at this point, of which there were multiple, by the way. There were like...
Four or five
members of her defense team came on this documentary. And it made a very distinct point to have them all talk about how emotional they were, that like she wasn't dying and she wasn't like found guilty, and how they cried for her after the verdict was announced and stuff like that. Like, they made a very big point to talk about how emotional of a moment that was for everyone, including Casey.
Which I'm sure it was. They've spent years on this case, you know?
Correct.
Makes sense.
3 years in the making, right? And so from there, the opening of this episode then talks about the backlash to the not guilty verdicts and how they were somewhat on the receiving end of that. And the defense team and Casey claim that they were all receiving death threats, and they all temporarily moved away from where they were living at the time. And other members of the defense team stayed away from Casey during this aftermath, except for, if you remember, our good friend Pat McKenna, the private investigator. He kind of, and he admits to this in the documentary. He says it with his whole chest. He's like, oh yeah, I invited Casey to come live with me. I felt like she needed a safe place to be. And I also feel like I needed to keep her brain occupied for like at least a year, because she had just gone through something so terrible. Like, Pat McKenna is so on Casey Anthony's side. The entire defense team was, honestly. Jose Baez did not appear in this documentary, by the way. But that was his intention. And they talk about, particularly in this episode, how Pat McKenna ended up becoming a father figure to Casey Anthony because of all this. And at the time that
he's the father she never got.
Oh, yeah. She's like, oh, yeah, you're the dad I always wanted. And at the time of this recording, and at the time that the documentary was filmed, Casey is no longer living with Pat McKenna, but she's still like a part of their family and like will attend like holidays and events and stuff like that, right? And like, as far as I know, she still works for him as well. And like, they talk about this in the first episode about how like she basically like assists his PI business, and like she does like a lot of organizing and also will like weigh in on certain things, I guess. And something that Pat McKenna makes a point to say throughout the entire documentary is how trustworthy he thinks Casey Anthony is now. how she is such an honest person now. And so, like, as you can imagine, like, if Casey really does feel this way about Pat, and, like, you know, he is very kind to her. He did take her in and all this stuff, right? And so that familial bond definitely formed between the two of them. And I think you can see it from both of them in this documentary.
Yeah. I mean, he even says, you know, beyond, like, holidays, he's going over just for, like, she's going over just for, like, Sunday dinners, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm. They, like, film all of them, like, having dinner together and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of interesting. And we come back to one of Tony Lazzaro's roommates at this point in the documentary. And this is where one of the roommates was, like, super mad. And, like, he talked about, like, how he was never going to forgive Casey and, like, doesn't understand how she didn't do anything for 31 days. Like, he's kind of pissed the entire documentary. And one of the things that he talks about in this episode is, like, the Zanny the Nanny name comes from Casey giving Xanax to Kaylee as, like, a parenting method, I guess you could say, to, like, keep her quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, he says that he made that assumption based off of the name Zanny the Nanny. He was like, come on. Like, we all know what that means. Like, you got to be joking me. And basically saying, like, I think that Casey didn't mean to kill Kaylee, but I think that she overdosed Kaylee on Xanax. And then she had to, like, deal with the repercussions of that.
And then it immediately cuts to Casey being like, oh, I never gave her anything but cold medicine.
Yeah, exactly. And to be fair, he does say that he never, ever saw Casey give Kaylee anything of the sort or Xanax or anything like that. But he said in the documentary at the time that at least they were filming that portion of it, he was convinced of it, right? He was like, I know that that's what it is. This episode of the documentary also extensively talked about Cindy and George after the trial, after the murder trial, where they gave multiple interviews in the aftermath of this. And they talk about how George, specifically in these post-trial interviews, was always blaming Casey and just, like, fucking laying into his daughter post-trial, right?
Right.
And Casey said that she, like, saw these interviews, like, over the next couple of years, and this caused irreparable damage between her and her parents. And she feels very, very hurt by George. She talks about that a lot. Casey, in this episode, also claims that she didn't speak out about this for a very long time because she doesn't want to hurt her parents. That's why she hasn't spoken out against all these interviews that her parents were doing. And she said that every single time that she talks about this aspect of this, that she has to re-grieve the loss of the relationship with her parents.
Yeah.
How big of an emotional impact this is for her. And we continue to spiral down this, like, family path line, because Casey then starts talking about how her father's testimony in court against her completely blindsided her, which I thought was interesting. This was a really interesting part of the documentary.
Mm-hmm.
In interviews, so they go into this whole thing where they're talking about, like, in interviews that before Casey was indicted, and this is something that we talked about during our series, okay? But in the interviews before Casey was indicted for the murder of Kaylee Anthony, George would vehemently profess her innocence.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about that. But after the indictment, again, George really started to hammer home that, one, he was an ex-cop, and two, how big of a liar his daughter Kaylee Anthony was. Casey claimed that every single time that George spoke to her, that he would immediately run to law enforcement and tell them everything that about the conversation they just had.
Mm-hmm.
And there are, like, cops, like, law enforcement officials, like, that show up in this episode. And, like,
and they kind of, maybe it was just me noticing this, they kind of try to play the cops as a little stupid or incompetent. Both
stupid. Which, I mean, like, these are the cops that didn't listen to Roy Kronk for 6 months. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So,
like, you know, say what
but they're
you
like,
will.
They're like, oh, we subpoenaed phones, but I don't know if we got George's phone.
Yeah. That was, you know what, now that you mention it, I am kind of Rolodexing that. And they did kind of like, it felt like the documentary like slowed down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Why didn't I pick up on that? That's really interesting. Because I kind of got
and
that
like,
same
listen,
vibe.
Fuck 12. Don't get me wrong. But like, for the right reasons, you know?
Come on. What are we talking about? Exactly. And the important thing to note about the law enforcement officials that show up in this episode in particular is that they say, and they say this the entire documentary, that they had no indication or any reason to suspect George Anthony during this process. They were like, we didn't investigate him because didn't really feel like we had to.
Mm-hmm. They're basically like, yeah, we thought it was Kaylee. We thought it was Casey, so we didn't bother with anyone else.
Mm-hmm. They admit to that. Pat McKenna also chimes in at this point in the documentary. He says something really interesting. He's like, George was presented to the media as like this loving grandfather, but Pat McKenna aptly points out that there is no proof that George was a loving grandfather and that he was almost working with law enforcement to this degree, which to Pat McKenna was weird. And here's the thing. I guess there's only circumstantial evidence that connects George Anthony to loving his granddaughter, kind of the same way that there's only circumstantial evidence pointing the finger at Casey Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are we talking about here? What kind of argument are you saying, dude? There's no proof? Strange.
Yeah, like,
behavior.
Okay, prove me that you're a good grandpa, dude. What do you mean? Get out of here.
Why don't you prove to me that you're a good grandpa? Oh, man. Like, dude, come on. Like, what kind of argument is that? I'm sorry. I don't mean to laugh because it's such a serious subject matter, but that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. One of the members of Casey's defense team at this point also pointed out how George was a testifying witness for the prosecution, obviously. But he was also allowed to remain in the courtroom as a survivor of the witness. So, like, he's being used as a witness for the prosecution and the defense. Like, they both need to talk to him during this trial.
Right.
But because he is a survivor of the witness, he's able to remain in the courtroom in between his testimonies, which is not how that works for other witnesses, because you can't be influenced by what other people are saying in the courtroom. That's the whole point, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, because he's sitting there the entire time, they're like, oh, yeah, like, George is obviously on the prosecution side this entire trial. And so he would listen to what blanks needed to be filled in for the prosecution. And then on his next testimony, he would go up there and answer all the questions perfectly.
Which is bad. That's bad procedure.
It is.
For those of us who are listening at home. That should not have been happening.
No, that shouldn't have been happening. It's actually quite embarrassing that that happened.
Yeah.
It also doesn't mean that he was necessarily filling in the blanks, but they did pull some video clips. There were some like pretty big coincidences in there.
Yeah.
To be fair, right?
Yeah. And like, another thing.
This is so weird.
And again, this was another one that kind of shook my convictions a little bit. If it
you
was,
really
big
think,
if true.
You think
big
so?
Big if true. Big if true. I don't know.
All right.
Lee Anthony admitted to Pat McKenna about the manner in which George would bury their pets. And he said that he would wrap them up in a blanket and then put them in a trash bag. which is the same way that Kaylee Anthony's remains were found.
Correct.
I mean, I don't think that's nothing.
I don't think that it's necessarily nothing. This is crazy. Okay, it's one thing if Lee says it, right? But Pat McKenna is the one that's saying this, right? He's saying that Lee told them this, right?
Fair.
I'm not saying that Pat McKenna is a goddamned liar.
And then I guess, you know, maybe it's another thing if they go to the, obviously this is an extreme measure at this point, but, you know, maybe go to the Anthony's old residence and dig up a pet and see how it was buried, you know?
Yeah, because the thing that's interesting about this entire circumstance, maybe it would be better to talk about this at the end, but like the thing about this entire circumstance is like, if there's so much evidence surrounding George Anthony, dude, you guys listen to this series, you know that I want justice for Kaylee Anthony as much as anybody else does, right?
Yeah.
But like, if there's so much evidence against George Anthony, open the fucking case. Fucking investigate that bitch. I don't care.
Well, Casey even says that, not about Kaylee's death, but she's like, there's no statute of limitations about what he did to me in Florida, and I could bring him to trial if I wanted to.
And here's the thing. I like the abuse stuff, like to very much admit something the way that Kyle just so bravely admitted to some of us that something in this documentary shook his convictions. One of the things that did shake my convictions is the alleged sexual abuse. I find this a very difficult subject matter to talk about anyway, mm-hmm. because as I very much pointed out in our series in part 3, like I think it is so important to believe victims of sexual assault and sexual abuse in particular. And especially when it happens to children, that is something that we don't talk about enough. I could rant about it for forever. I'm not going to bum you guys out like that. That is one of the only things that like shook the way that I felt. Like I kind of felt bad about some of the stuff that I said in our series a little bit, if I'm being honest. But very much like we said in our series, this does not excuse the behavior that I think went down during this time period. But I do somewhat kind of believe Kaylee Anthony a little bit more in that regard. Which does bring into question some things about George that I now think, right? And I think that that's what this documentary was trying to do. Very blatantly here at the end, they're just talking about George Anthony. We're kind of going through a George Anthony rapid fire right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess like to kind of put a bow on this, like, it is interesting, all of the things that they're alleging about George Anthony, including this thing from Lee Anthony about how he would bury their pets when they were growing up.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about it more at the end, but I kind of feel like this is a nothing burger. This detail, at least, is a nothing burger.
It's fair.
But strange. They did say it. They did say that this happened.
Yeah. But to that effect, the law enforcement that were involved in this series do all admit that the entire Anthony family, including George, they all lied to law enforcement at some point during the investigation and during the trial.
This is true. Good point.
Which makes it so much harder to really draw any definite conclusions about this case.
Yeah.
And they talk about, you know, they talk about the trash in the trunk and the pizza boxes. And it's so weird because, like, Casey is so adamant that she's never smelled a dead body before, right? But then she insinuates it seems like she's insinuating pretty fucking hard that she was smelling a dead body in the trunk.
Yes. after George had taken Kaylee.
You yeah.
know what I mean?
And it's like, okay, so you suspected that you were smelling a dead body in the trunk, but you still thought that Kaylee was okay.
Correct.
Right.
And again, like, right. all of this is under the guise... I'm not going to say the guise. There's a better way to say this. All of this is predicated on the fact that Casey Anthony is so abused by George Anthony that she cannot be rational in this scenario. She cannot be honest as a byproduct of the abuse that took place.
Sure.
That's what it's all predicated on. Just as a reminder to the folks at home, Kyle.
Yeah. I know. It's just... Ugh.
I know.
And this is where they played a really interesting card of talking. This is where they talk about George being a tool of the state to kill his daughter.
Yeah. This was a very, very blatant shot, I will say.
Yeah. I literally had to pause the documentary and skip back because, like, I thought I missed something insane.
I did the same thing.
Because the verbiage that they use, because that is the exact verbiage they use, saying that George had become a tool of the state to murder his own daughter.
Yes.
And that is only a very slim technicality on a very slim viewpoint of what testifying in a death penalty case is, you know?
Yes.
And this is, they bring back Tony Lazzaro's roommates for this bit to show just how impactful of a statement this is. And like, one of them is literally like, oh, I need to take a break after hearing that. You're like melting my brain right now, dude.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay.
Yeah. And like, the dude who was like super pissed at Casey the whole time, the other roommate,
mm-hmm.
he like hears that for the first time. And the person who's making the documentary, who I assume is the director of the documentary, like, she's asking him, like, don't you think that that's like a little weird? Don't you think that that's like harsh, that he would be a tool of the state for his daughter's execution? And he's like, you know, I never thought about it like that before. It's kind of crazy when you say it like that. It kind of makes it seem like there's no other thing that he could be doing.
Yeah.
It's like this huge revelation for him in the process of filming the documentary, which, like, here's the thing. The way that they presented it, if you did hear that for the first time, that is kind of crazy. And if it is true, that's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Well, like, there's a lot of reasons why George Anthony would be acting the way he's acting during that trial, dude.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There could be a reason that he's upset at his daughter, who he potentially thinks killed his beloved granddaughter.
And this is where this documentary, I think, really lost me and really, really loses all of its integrity, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because it just goes, like, from this point really until the end of the episode, it just goes full in on the... George not only sexually abused Casey, but also sexually abused Kaylee, and beyond that, killed her to cover up his crimes.
Yes.
And then, beyond that, continued to then intimidate and force Casey into lying about Zanny the nanny, and even into, like, taking the cops into fucking Universal Studios.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that she had to be Daddy's best little liar, and like, they just doubled down so hard on it. there's a big moment where they play Casey clips from Kaylee's funeral and their speeches there. And I will say, George's speech at Kaylee's funeral is a little weird. It's a bit weird.
It's pretty fucking weird. I'm gonna full admit this.
Full disclosure, it's weird. He's talking about how sweet her sweat smelled, and he mentions how she smelled like 4 times just in the clips that they show.
Yeah.
Which is odd. That is odd.
That's something to know.
But people do and say odd things when they are grieving. Also, he's a big ass fucking boomer.
Yeah, he probably thought
he was being poetic.
It's bad. It's kind of bad. It's pretty bad. And like the big thing about this documentary, again, like I feel like something that says something about this documentary is like how hard they hit the emotional impact of this.
Mm-hmm.
This is allegedly the first time that Casey Anthony is seeing this footage, because she's like, yeah, I didn't see her funeral. And then she watches this. I begged
them to do something small. Mm-hmm. And it was not a small
thing. No, there were 1,200 people in the building.
There was some production to it, for sure.
They also didn't mention how Cindy, like, vehemently, like, brought up Casey, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And speaking of lying, he also... Casey admits to lying about the nanny, about Zanny. And she claimed that she was just using Zanny as an excuse to still go hang out with friends. But then also she would take Kaylee with her to the friends. So she was only lying to her parents about Zanny the nanny.
Right.
Allegedly.
Mm-hmm.
But then she also says that George told Casey to lie about Zanny. Mm-hmm. So like, George told Casey to lie to them so that she could go and hang out with her friends, is what we're supposed to believe.
Yeah, and like tell the police about it to like get them away from George or something. Like,
and it's like George was a fucking investigator. He was a cop. He was a detective. He knows.
He was in homicide.
That shit would have fallen apart so fast.
And again,
it doesn't make any sense.
And it's like what I said in part 3. Like, do you really think that a dude who worked in homicide is going to be like, I know how to cover up this accidental death, make it look like a homicide?
Yeah, no.
No. And at this point, Casey is like gloves off, being like, no, George killed my daughter. Like, for sure.
Yeah.
And something else that Casey also goes into here is that she claims that she only lied about her job at Universal Studios because she was trying specifically to work jobs like bartending or waitressing that would pay like cash so that her parents wouldn't know how big her paychecks were, because she was trying to get out of that house as fast as possible.
Yeah.
Because she did not feel safe with George there. And she backs this up with like this weird like divorce stint that George and Cindy went through in 2005.
Yeah, where George had been unfaithful again.
Mm-hmm.
And kicked out of the house for a while.
And Casey said that she felt very, very safe at the house during this time because specifically George was not in the house with her. Which, again, if the abuse is true, then that makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
And so she obviously wants to get Kaylee out of there from this perspective. That's pretty much all that there is left to talk about, honestly.
Yeah, it really just becomes the fuck George Anthony documentary for the last like half hour, 20 minutes at least of the documentary. And it really just lost any integrity that it did have in that last half hour of the last episode.
It like full swan dived into the fuck George Anthony documentary. And
it
like,
was like, just as someone who really loves documentaries and the process of a documentary, it was bizarre to see, because it had been structured and produced so and written so well up until that point. And it just felt like I don't even know how to describe it. It felt like it does like a 180 on not what it was trying to tell us necessarily, but its methodology at the very least.
It kind of feels like the end of the horror movie when like everything is unraveling and it's kind of like boom, boom, boom. Oh my God, Jigsaw was in the room the entire time. Oh my God, you didn't actually have to cut off your fucking leg or whatever. You know what I mean? Game over, right? Like, it felt like that kind of an ending.
Yeah.
And that's what was like really, really crazy about how I left this documentary, emotionally speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Because I won't lie, like, I watched episode 2 and 3 back to back in one sitting.
Mm-hmm.
That was probably a mistake. It was super, super heavy. It was a lot for me to deal with. Mm-hmm. And like, it was definitely impactful. That's what I'll say at the end of this documentary.
I honestly would recommend the documentary to people that know the case.
Yeah, for sure.
I would not recommend the documentary to people that do not know the case.
Yes.
I think there's a very big reason that it has a 3.7 out of 10 on IMDb. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It was very frustrating to watch.
It was a tough documentary, and it's like, you know, I fully admitted this during our series on this case, is like, I did not watch every single goddamn minute of this trial. I did not dig into every single shred of evidence that I could have to prepare for this series.
Mm-hmm.
And what I will say is, like, there's a part of me that kind of regrets that. I feel like if we ever tier list this episode, like we do on the Wednesday Phenomena sometimes, I'll probably give myself a B on that series. But like, that was one of the things, again, one of the only things that really spoke to me in this documentary was the documentation that they were able to produce.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all constructed. It's edited. It's supposed to make me feel something. It's supposed to be impactful. It's filmmaking, right?
Right.
But that doesn't mean that it was necessarily badly placed or poorly done. No. I felt like most of the time it was done pretty appropriately. And so, like, all of this to say, like, we didn't dig into it as much as we could have on our show, but you can definitely get an understanding of what this case is about and then watch this documentary. I agree with Kyle. That's probably the only way that you should watch this documentary. Do not watch this as your first exposure to the Casey Anthony story.
No.
Because there's a couple of things in particular that they do not talk about that I think is somewhat pointing to this documentary being somewhat disingenuous. Like, first and foremost, like, they do not talk about Kaylee's Law, which, again,
no,
like I said at the end of our series, is so fucking frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
This documentary, for all intents and purposes, revolved around the very thing that is so frustrating about this entire case, which is Casey Anthony. This entire documentary revolves around her.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a joke. I can't verify if this is true or not, but I thought it was hilarious. On the IMDb page, they have a Did You Know section. And the only thing that's on the Did You Know section for Casey Anthony, Where the Truth Lies, is someone saying, over the course of the 3 episodes, Casey Anthony says I or me over 300 times and mentions her daughter only 33 times. Here's the thing. I can't verify if that's true.
But it might be a little bit off, but
might be a little bit off on the count. But here's the thing. I will say that this entire documentary revolves around Casey Anthony. And Casey Anthony's role in this documentary revolves around Casey Anthony.
Yes. Yeah. The other big thing for me that it didn't mention was Casey's diary entry that she said she had no regrets and that it's the happiest she's ever been. I would have liked to hear an explanation about that from the horse's mouth.
Mm-hmm.
It did a pretty good job. That's why I'm so conflicted about this documentary. Mm-hmm. It's so well made. It's incredibly well produced. It's incredibly well researched. And it is incredibly disingenuous.
Yes. Yes. And like, it was impressive to me how many people were involved in that documentary
mm-hmm.
and vouched for it. But there were also like some major players missing from the documentary as well. And it's like, I don't think you could get George and Cindy Anthony to agree to do a documentary like this. Like, there's no shot, right?
No shot.
But like, if we were actually looking at like the most well-balanced, unbiased documentary, like the most well-balanced, unbiased documentaries are usually centered around people who are like almost dead or who are already dead because no one has any sort of emotional connection to those people anymore. And there's a shit ton of people who are alive who have an emotional connection to Casey Anthony, to George and Cindy Anthony, to the Casey Anthony case, all of it, right? So a documentary like this, of course, in of its nature and of the time that it's produced, is very divisive.
Yeah.
Right? But it is crazy how many people they got in this documentary to vouch for Casey Anthony and her innocence. Something else that they also did not mention that I thought was pretty disingenuous of this documentary to not mention was a trigger warning. George's suicide attempt that we talked about during our series. They failed to mention that 1,000,000%. No mention of his attempted suicide or the suicide note that he left where all he talked about was how much he missed Kaylee. Like, they did not bring that up. And to me, like, if you're not going to bring that up, like, dude, throw him under the bus, run him over, and then back up and run him over again. Like, it's a continuation of what we saw in the trial. And I feel like for me, this is kind of the thing about it. This kind of leads me into my back assward stance a little bit, Kyle. And I hope that that's okay.
Yeah.
But like, that's kind of the thing about this documentary that gets me is like, it is such a hefty, hefty accusation to levy towards George Anthony. And I totally get that. It was also a hefty allegation to levy towards Casey Anthony. They were pursuing the death penalty, which is a big fucking deal. It's a big one. But if you are going to accuse someone of such a horrible, horrible crime, because you want to know something, Kyle? It has to be worse than a mother killing her child. It has to be grandfather sexually molests 2.5-year-old granddaughter and viciously drowns her in the pool. It has to be worse than the circumstance already at hand, right? And if you're going to levy such a claim, you have to have so much evidence. There has to be beyond a reasonable doubt, if you will, that George Anthony did this. And I'm sorry, but you did not convince me of that in this documentary.
No.
I do not buy it for a second. The SS Kaylee Anthony is weird. It's not so far out of there.
Yeah.
The way that your compulsive pathological lying is a coping mechanism, perhaps them buying the SS Kaylee Anthony is it also a coping mechanism. The same fucking bullshit excuse could be made up for them too. I don't understand why it's only for thee and not for me. Doesn't make any sense.
No, I'm right there with you. I had a couple moments watching this documentary that I was like, oh, maybe. And then 30 seconds later, I was like, no, they're so obviously fabricating this to make me feel that way.
They're telling a story.
They're telling a story. And I guess that's really my back-assward stance on this documentary. It's like, it's exactly what I said earlier. I would recommend it, especially if you enjoy a documentary. If you know the case. If you're not familiar with the case, watch our series on it and then watch the documentary.
Yeah, that'll at least give you a pretty good foundation for what you're going into.
Yeah, because we too also do have a bias.
Yes, I acknowledge this.
To be clear, but I think we do a better job of acknowledging it than this documentary did.
Yeah, they didn't acknowledge it at all.
No, they tried to do the opposite, honestly. They open up the documentary being like, so why decide to talk right now when you don't have the creative control? And it's like she might not have been in charge of the edit, but she absolutely had creative control in that production process.
God, of course. She wouldn't have agreed to do it otherwise. Come on. Like, come on. She wouldn't have agreed to do it.
Well, and also, you're interviewing her for 95% of the fucking thing. She can say whatever she wants, and she can walk away if she doesn't like how things are going.
Which she did do.
Yeah, she did. And she could have walked away from the process completely if she wanted to, you know? Like,
they made such a point. They made such a point to establish Casey Anthony as a newly honest, rational, truthful person.
Yeah.
And then proceed to tell this crazy story.
So this might be my first hate recommendation on this entire show.
Wow.
I wouldn't go so far to say as I hate the documentary, because I don't. Again, it was really well made. But it's so disingenuous. And I think as an exercise, it's important to watch a documentary or content like this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Watch those things for the quote-unquote other side of whatever argument it is you're talking about. Watch those things that are so compelling, the things that convince people of this other side that you're talking against, right? Because you can see where they're coming from, right? This is why we watch flat earther fucking YouTuber compilations when we're doing a flat earth episode, right? Because it's important to know where people are coming from. And so on that principle, I would recommend this show, and only on that principle.
I think you quite nailed it on the head, my friend. I don't think I could add anything to that because I could not agree with you more. My back ass word stance, fuck Casey Anthony.
Yeah, fuck Casey Anthony, I believe, is the back ass word stance.
Oh, God.
Thank you so much for listening to the podcast, everybody.
Thank you so much. It means so much to be able to create content like this. If you want more content like this, can I just say that we do shit like this all the time on our Patreon on the Wednesday Phenomena.
The Wednesday Phenomena.
It is we do actual watch party episodes where we talk about horror movies or talk about short films. Perhaps we'll bring up a documentary sometime and do a watch party on it. Over on the Wednesday Phenomena, it's our extra bonus show that you get when you sign up for our $5 Patreon tier. It's amazing. Please come join us over there. We do shit like this all the time.
Yeah, it's so much fun. Helps us keep the lights on. It's a great cause. Do it.
Please.
You can subscribe and review if you're enjoying the show. And if you think someone else will enjoy the show, please share it with them.
Because word of mouth is the best way to spread. The Back Asswards podcast practices being objective by listening actively to the other side. And you know.
You know.
That the Back Asswards podcast is, number one, the only interdimensional podcast. And number two, the most fair and objective podcast.
Absolutely.
I can't even say it.
Absolutely. Oh, man. You can listen to our previous episodes for more. I would recommend our episode on the Enfield Poltergeist.
Oh, dude. Kyle did such a good job on that episode. I love it when Kyle talks about ghosts. Kyle doesn't talk about ghosts that much on the show, but it's so much fun when they do. And that was also during our month of Ed and Lorraine Warren, which was awesome. Month and a half of Ed and Lorraine Warren, which was awesome. Well, one of my favorite chapters of the show. Highly recommend Enfield. That Lego shit is crazy.
Dude, it was weird.
Fuck that.
Enfield was the weird one out of that whole month. That was the weird one.
Out of the whole saga. I agree.
You can follow me and Arden on Twitter. I am at BackassWordKyle. Arden is at Arden_Smith. And you can follow the podcast on all of your favorite social medias on Twitter at BackassWordsPod, Instagram, BackassWordsPod, and on TikTok, BackassPod, and on Facebook, just search the BackassWords Podcast. Again, join us on Patreon. It means a lot. Please. I'm Kyle.
I'm Arden.
And we'll see you next week. I don't have a bit for the outro for this necessarily.
No bit for this one. Please stay safe.
We'll see you next week, guys.
Stay weird. The danger is real.
The danger is real.
Woo. And
I have to pee really fast. I'm so sorry.
Please.
I'm so sorry. 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 I'm so sorry.
Isn't it funny?